Talking Bear Football is what we're going to do, because this is the Talking Bear Football podcast.
Right here on WestBranchFootball.com. We're just getting right into it.
Just going to jump right into it, because the non-district season is over. And being 4 wins and 0 losses at this point, fellas, is like having a trump card in your back pocket.
You can't get any better than that.
You can't. You can't win them all if you don't win the first four.
Exactly.
And so far, West Branch has done that in all kinds of different fashions, but it doesn't matter. A win is a win is a win.
Is a win.
Is a win.
Four times
and
over. Yeah.
They did so in week 4, 24-14 over Tipton to take a commanding lead in the Cedar County Trophy standings.
Nope.
Oh, it's commanding, because there's only one team that's undefeated.
Well, that's true, but we'll get to that.
But before we do that, guys, let's recap a little bit about Tipton. We talked about it last week. Steven and I talked about it Tuesday. The coaches talked about it. The players talked about it this week. It's one of those games that goes way, way, way back.
We only care about 2019, though, Jason.
We do, but I'm just saying. I'm giving you perspective here. It's a big word. I could spell it, but I don't want to show off. These two teams have been playing for a long time. For a long time before we were born, Tipton had the advantage for years and years. West Branch has had it in recent years. But these teams have been playing for, well, long before we were born, guys. And they played another one on Friday night, and it was a good one. Steven, what do you think?
Kind of similar to what I thought it was going to be going in terms of if West Branch defensively could do some things to make Tipton get into some long yardage situations. I felt good. I knew that Tipton was going to be game. They were going to be ready to play, and we saw that from the first whistle. They did a lot of good things. West Branch was able to do what they needed to do to get the win. But, I mean, that was a good Tipton team, and Coach Peterson mentioned it in the postgame that it gets overlooked. They've got 18 seniors, and a lot of those guys have been playing at the varsity level. They didn't play their sophomore year. A lot of them have been at the varsity level. This will be their third season. So they know what it takes to compete at this level, and they showed that, especially on that defensive side of the football. You know, it was tough sledding for us offensively, and some things on the film that Coach Peterson is going to look at, Coach Hirschman's going to look at, but, you know, credit to both teams for coming out playing hard, and credit for the Bears for finding a way to get 10 more points than what Tipton scored.
And Matt, Steven did talked about how they wreaked some havoc up front. I think if you look at about, it seemed like at about 50% of the plays or more, there was either a number 73, Jesse Leisure, or a number 74, Niall Schuett, by the way, a very, very good wrestler, and just a junior. They were in the backfield quite a bit. Yeah, surprise, surprise, right, Steven? But Matt, what do you I think there's a big connection there to wrestling, but just not just that. These kids got an extra heartbeat, as Butch likes to say, and they were pumping it in the backfield quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the defensive battle was really kind of my big takeaway from this game Friday night. Tipton, I mean, I think they outplayed West Branch on defense in terms of, I mean, the score doesn't really reflect that, but I just think in terms of disruptiveness, really just making Gavin Hirschman scramble on a lot of plays, stopping Tanner Lukowski in the backfield quite a bit, just a lot of things that the Tipton defensive front did to really just slow down West Branch, kind of get them on the move, improvise. Hirsch at halftime talking with sideline Jerry Flegel, he said, quote, "They're eating our lunch, they're big, and we're having trouble with them," end quote. So I think that's a good summation right there from Hirsch. And just this Tipton defense really just came out, and they were trying to win this game for them.
Well, they held West Branch to their season low on offense, 214 total yards. Tipton had 248. They won the battle on paper of the yardage, but unfortunately for them, and fortunately for West Branch, the scoreboard is what we go by, and 24 for West Branch, 14 for Tipton. And man, it was anxious how, I don't want to say weird how it got there, but it was just a little interesting how it got there. I mean, Tipton takes the ball right up off the get-go, fellas, and drives it right down the field to miss a field goal. They missed a field goal from, I think it was about a 35-yard attempt, and West Branch's defense felt pretty good about that. Then West Branch gets it three and out. Then Tipton goes right back, and they fumble. They're driving a little, get a first down, and then a fumble. Mm-hmm. Then West Branch, on their second drive, touchdown. So the
it before was, that it, touchdown, though, Jason, if you remember, we were, what, third and 19?
Third and 19, yeah.
We'd had back-to-back negative plays, so we were playing well behind the sticks. Everybody stepped up, executed on that screen pass, but, you know, it was we went three and out, and then we were on the cusp of going three and out for the second straight possession. But I think that was a huge play in terms of getting some confidence and some momentum for that offense.
100%, Matt. While you're going to go over the stats here in about, you know, 30 seconds to a minute, look at the rest of the first half statistics alone. After that touchdown, West Branch goes punt, two plays, negative 2 yards. They punted on third down, and then they go three plays, 2 yards. So breaking even on the next two possessions. And then second to last possession of the first half, just 10 yards, and then get a short field and Cale Federlin, Mr. Count on him for everything he's kicked this year. And we'll talk about it a little bit more, but you want to talk about the three parts of the game, offense, defense, and special teams? Last week we picked on the special teams. Yeah. This week we are going to pick the special teams as the X factor for this victory.
Yeah, Cale Federlin, I talked about him a little bit last week, but once again this week, perfect on his point after touchdown attempts, 3 for 3 this week, add another field goal. This time from 33 yards out, led the team in tackles, had 2.5 tackles for loss, had a fumble recovery on defense. All of that put together, he had a fantastic game and is very deservingly the Main Street Suites player of the game. And Jerry Flake will talk to him.
Okay, we got Cale Federlin, our polar bear player of the game. Cale, great defensive effort, offensive effort. This is a hard-fought game.
Yeah, we knew Tipton was going to be good coming in. We know we have confidence in our defense, and we do a great job of preparing every week. We got the best coaches in the whole country. We just came out and did what we needed to do.
The single wing offense with the spin back, so forth like that, hard tracking. You're playing as an outside linebacker, and what were your responsibilities?
Outside contain, just make sure everything goes back in. You know, we talked all week about watching the guards. You know, can't peek into the backfield, or they'll go one way and we're going the other. So we stayed. I think we did pretty well discipline wise tonight.
Well, great. And of course, I noticed one play in particular where they were sweeping your way and you just cut off the end and turned it inside for no way of gain.
You know, yeah, just try to do my job. I have faith in my teammates to do everything for me, and I just gotta stick with them, and they helped me out a ton.
Well, very good. Again, congratulations on player of the game, and great game.
Thank you.
Add on to everything that he said there. I mean, the thing that we saw against Williamsburg the week before was trouble with the kick coverage. That was the other thing that we didn't really talk about with Cale, was he did the kickoffs again last week. He was able to get some good hang time, pretty decent depth as well. I mean, he was inside the 20, around the 15 most of the night, which is pretty good for high school area. But with that hang time, that allowed the kick coverage to get down there. You know, reverse that with some of the stuff the week before where the ball was maybe bouncing a little bit, more of a line drive. That allows the blocking to set up a little bit better. So I think that was one of the other areas that didn't get talked about as much, but was just as crucial to seeing that improvement on the special team side.
And then add on to that, guys, I think if you look at the team stats, West Branch had to punt 7 times, which is quite a few times if you look at the games over the last few years. But they punted 7 times, and they averaged nearly 42 yards per punt. Of course, helped out by a Gavin Hirschman, one punt in his lifetime as a varsity player, 63 yards. I'm guessing there aren't very many people in West Branch football history or the history of football anywhere in the world that have one punt for 63 yards of their varsity career thus far. Well, but I think that just adds on to what Cale did.
Very often.
Yeah, I agree. Let's hope not. But when he does, yes, let's hope it's for 63 yards and just stays out of going into the end zone. So,
well, and I had said too, I mean, I know this is kind of jumping into some of the scoring recap, but, you know, in that punting game, you know, I talked about it where we had a drive that we moved the ball a little ways, We got stopped on fourth down. Tanner with a great punt. I think it was Caleb Sexton and Dakota Kaelberg sprinting down the field, pin them deep at the 1 yard line. And then the defense turns around and picks things up, forces the fumble that Morgan Hartz recovers at the 1 inch line. And then we get an easy one play touchdown. So those are the things when Coach Hirschman's saying that, you know what, sometimes a punt's not a bad thing. That was basically a 40-yard play because we went from the 40-yard line, a 39-yard punt, we get the ball right at the one, and we score easily.
Well, Steven, you and Mike talked about this right as that whole sequence of events happened. It's you're just playing the game. You're kind of playing the chess game. And the fact that, yes, the Bears punted, but they pinned him inside the 5-yard line, that's okay. That is a great play. Despite you're not being on offense anymore, you know, gave Tipton the ball, whatever. It turned, I mean, regardless of how it ended up turning out, in this case, very much so in the Bears' favor, even if Tipton went down and scored a touchdown on a 99-yard drive, fine, that happened. But the offense put the Bears' defense in a position to succeed. And that's really all you can ask for. And that's really just playing the game.
Right.
Kind of the hidden game, really.
And that's where those three phases all just intermesh together.
Right in my mind right now.
So that, you know, offense, defense, special teams, that's what leads to a win.
With the offense that may not be doing well or the defense, you got to flip the field. And the Bears punting game did just that. How about we flip through the scoring plays from this game, Matt, to see how we got to 24-14.
Sure, let's do it. So first quarter, Bears got on the scoreboard first with a Gavin Hirschman pass, a screen pass to Tanner Lukowski, as we talked about, on 3rd and 19. That went 69 yards to put the Bears up 7-0. And then just with a couple seconds left in the first half, Cale Federline hits a 33-yard field goal to put the Bears up 10-0. The Bears get the ball right back to begin the second half. They did not score on that drive, but however, still there in the third quarter. Gavin Hirschman finds Trey Eagle in the end zone. Echo. Yeah. From 20 yards out to go up 17-0 at that point. Still in the third quarter, Peyton Elijah at quarterback throws it to Nate Bierman 25 yards out, kind of a jump pass in the end zone there where Bierman went up and got it to score there. So 17-7 at that point. Fourth quarter, we kind of just went over the sequence. But Bears had a fourth down. Tanner Lukowski punted it, kind of angle punt away from the returner. And it took a really, really nice West Branch bounce. It ended up down there, being down at the 1 yard line. And then on 3rd and probably 9 or so, from that 1 yard line, Tipton had there was a fumble on the, I think it was just kind of on the exchange from the quarterback. He ended up dropping it. Morgan Hartz fell on it there at the 1 yard line, and then the very next play, Gavin Hirschman just snuck it right behind his big lineman into the end zone for a touchdown to go up 24-7.
Third later, rushing touchdown of the year for Matt Paulson, by the way.
Yes, that's true. I like that. And then also in the fourth quarter, the final score of the game, Peyton Elijah took a direct snap and just kind of went over his right guard and right tackle into the end zone for a 5-yard touchdown run. And so that was the score of the game, and Bears escape with a 24-14 victory.
And Matt would want us to tell the people out there listening, Stephen, that they can find the stats for this game on westbranchfootball.com.
There's about a plethora of information.
No, but westbranchfootball.com/news/830.
It'll also be in the show notes for this episode.
It would be in the show notes for this episode. So that's Tipton, and that's a West Branch 24-14 victory, and that's a 4-win, 0-loss start, winning all the non-district games, fellas.
That's
like we
good.
Said in the onset, that's good news, right?
Yeah.
In addition to great sandwiches and ice cream treats, Main Street Sweets offers home-cooked comfort food meals. Each Thursday and Friday, we feature items like meatloaf, tater tot casserole, chicken pot pie, and more. We also offer fresh baked pies every Thursday afternoon. Find a full schedule, as well as our regular menu, at our website, MainStreetSuitesWB.com.
All right, the Cedar County Trophy. The kind of the silent partner for this game last Friday night. West Branch and Tipton, of course, Tipton being the county seat of Cedar County. Durant, West Branch, Tipton, and North Cedar all involved in the trophy games. Where do we stand, Matt? Where does it stand?
Man, this took me a little bit to kind of put together just because there have been so many matchups already so far in the non-district schedule. So I'm just going to go alphabetical here, start with Durant. They are 0-2. In week two, they lost to North Cedar. And then in week three, they lost to Tipton. North Cedar, who is at 1-1, week one lost to Tipton, but then week two beat Durant. And then, so they have a game coming up. Their final Cedar County game would be against West Branch in week six. Tipton, who is now 2-1, week one, they beat North Cedar. Week three, they beat Durant. And then, of course, week four, they lost to West Branch. And then West Branch just played their first Cedar County game against Tipton, beating them. And then, as I mentioned, they'll have a matchup with North Cedar in week six. So, Tipton is 2-1, West Branch is 1-0, and North Cedar is 1-1. I think it's. I'm not sure how we're going to calculate that since Tipton and North Cedar will be the two that play three games.
I mean, basically, if you go off a winning percentage,
yeah.
If West Branch beats North Cedar, West Branch it's wins over. Just 2-0.
Yes. Yeah,
if 100%. North Cedar beats West Branch, then you'd have a tie, but Tipton would get the tiebreaker because they won the head-to-head. So basically, right, it comes down to that Week 6 game.
I'm glad I
well,
asked.
Well, no, but West Branch won to beat Tipton. So there wouldn't be a head-to-head winner. It might have to go off the 17-point aggregate, and I would bet.
Yeah, but I would say winning percentage would be the first tiebreaker.
I agree.
Yeah. North Cedar would, if they were to win, would have a 66% winning percentage. West Branch would be at 500. Tipton.
You're right.
Yep.
So there we go.
That's where I'm throwing that in there.
But let's just not make all of our listeners and perhaps players listening.
Everybody can put their abacus away. Don't worry. We're good. We'll figure the math for you.
We've got bigger fish to fry.
How about the standings that actually matter?
Yes.
Still no movement in the District 4 standings. That'll change here. But to round out non-district play, give a quick recap of what went on just to kind of set up as we head into district play now for the final 5 weeks of the season, of the regular season at least. Beckman improved to 3-1 by defeating 2A Anamosa team 16-13.
By the way, Beckman scored with 44 seconds remaining in that game.
Yeah.
To go ahead and then hold on to win.
I think they were down 13-2 for a while.
That is correct.
I think that was a halftime score maybe. Yeah.
That was the halftime score.
Yeah. Yes. So a good comeback for them. Bellevue gets into the win column this season with a 35-6 victory over Class A Clayton Ridge. North Cedar improved to 3-1 as well with a 33-8 victory over Columbus Community. Northeast Goose Lake also got in the win column this week with a 27-0 victory over Class A Albernett. And then not all of the District 4 teams could win, unfortunately, as Cascade dropped a 42-13 battle with Waukon, who is a 2A team.
Waukon is the number one ranked
yes.
2A team.
And they so Cascade drops to 1-3, and then, of course, West Branch defeated Tipton 24-14 to improve to 4-0. So that sets up district play games next week. I'm glad that our District 4 check-in segment will get cut in half now because we're all going to have district games going ahead. So Beckman is going to take on Northeast Goose Lake at Northeast Goose Lake. And then North Cedar will travel to Cascade, Western Dubuque for a battle there. And West Branch, finally at home, will take on Bellevue.
But they will not wear black jerseys. They will wear the purple jerseys. This week is the throwback game.
Are we going to ever get to wear black jerseys at home this
season? Week 13, actually. No. Week 7, I believe, is the first time that they'll come out. But before you got to the black jerseys, we had the purple jerseys at West Branch. You got to pay tribute to those that paid the bills and did the time before you. This year, we're paying tribute to anyone from 1969 and before, is what I'm being told, are the people who are being honored this week. So if you played anywhere from 1969 and earlier, first of all, How about it? We'd love to hear some stories. Maybe someday we'll get some people to tell us some stories about those games. If they wore pads or face masks or didn't, that would even be more fun if we heard those stories. But we want to say thank you for paving the way for the kids that are playing 50-plus years later. But we're going to pay tribute by wearing purple jerseys. Steven or Matt, either one of you, tell us the story of the purple jerseys and how it transitioned in to the current colors at West Branch.
Well, that was a situation that, it was the Fighting Quakers back in the day, and they made the move sometime in the early 1900s to the Polar Bears, and the school colors were purple and white. And unfortunately, during World War II in the early 1940s, the dye to make the purple ink was hard to come by. And so they decided to, rather than spend the extra money or worry about something that was short, they just transitioned into the red and white colors, and at the same time decided, you know what, let's just drop the polar from the name, we'll just become the Bears. And so it was kind of necessitated by world events, but made the change in the early 40s, and we've been red and white and just the Bears ever since.
Matt, would you call it ironic that the man who just described that story of getting rid of the polar bears picked that mantle back up down at Main Street Suites where you can get a polar bear? What a segue.
Well, and it's also the name of our Player of the Game segment, the Polar Bear of the Game on the Bearcast. So it lives on, and there's purple in the Bears, I think, both home and away jerseys. Just a
that
little
is correct.
Sliver of purple there. And I know, so I know Coach Peterson always likes to remember the past and pay tribute to them. So I think just kind of the purple is a really nice touch. And to be honest, I don't think it looks too bad with red, white, and black.
Yeah, it looks good the way they did it.
Yeah.
It does. Well, boys, here we go. Excuse me. Boys, here we go with Bellevue. The Bears and the Comets have become quite the foes over the last few years. Trading blows home away, over the last 3 years, the home team has won each game. 3 years ago, it was Peter Kilberg, 26 or 25-13, I think was the final in 2016 at Bellevue. 2017, an absolute thriller. Ben Thompson intercepts a pass with the Bears leading by the smallest of margins. At the Little Rose Bowl, he picks a pass off with about, 40 seconds to go in the game as Bellevue was driving, and he intercepts a pass at the 2-yard line, and the Bears run the clock out to win that, and they go on to win the district in 2017. And in 2018, 28-20 was your final in Bellevue. Bellevue wins. Home team, home team, home team. West Branch is the home team in 2019, perhaps. That'll ring true, but I can tell you right now, Coach Kanak, Chet Kanak, a good guy in the profession, also their golf coach, that team got their first victory. They know what it tastes like now, and they don't want to lose that taste from their mouth, Matt. They want to keep moving forward, and to do so, they're going to do it on the throwing arm, the fleet feet of Max Jackson at quarterback, who's leading rushing stats and obviously throwing stats, and his favorite target is Jacob Weller, a sophomore. In week 4, in a 35-6 victory over Clayton Ridge, Jacob Waller, 2 rushing touchdowns and 1 receiving touchdown. So he seems to have a nice rapport with Mr. Jackson.
Yeah, Waller is definitely his number one target there. And only being a sophomore and the type of production that he's had now through the first 4 weeks, he's going to be a guy that we're going to be calling his name quite a bit over the next 3 seasons. Unfortunately. but I think 2 guys that I really kind of want to watch for are going to be on Bellevue's defense, because I think they're going to have a strong defensive effort to really stay in this game. And the 2 guys that I want to talk about briefly here are Luke Giesman, number 51. He plays linebacker on defense. He's a senior. He's just 5'6", 170. But he's just kind of all over the field for being a linebacker. Just some of the game tape that I've watched so far, he really plays a pivotal role with that defense. He leads the team in tackles as well as sacks as well. So I think he's going to be a big guy for this Bears offensive line to really try and when they got to get up to that second level and make blocks, he's going to be one that they really need to pay quite a bit of attention to. And then the other guy who, you know, statistically really isn't very flashy. He doesn't really have a lot of numbers on paper, but I think it's really just his just general play on the field as you watch him that makes him a little bit of a threat and somebody to watch out for is Isaac Carter, number 78. He's the team center, but he's also a defensive lineman. He's a senior, 6'2", 250. From a defensive perspective, he's really just disruptive. He really plays defensive tackle, but a lot of the time he's kind of playing that nose guard type of role, which we don't see very often anymore. But yeah, just very disruptive, big guy, really, you know, kind of could take on a lot of double teams in there. So I think, yeah, Carter and Giesemann are going to be the two guys to really pay attention to on defense.
Steven, I want to lead this to you here. As we all know, you were one of the skill position. You played the skill position player for West Branch back in the day. Let's do that again. Steven, your days as a West Branch Bear, you were a true skill position player. And how do we define that?
Offensive line.
Okay, offensive line. With the last 3 years, Bellevue has been putting up numbers that their school has never seen, likened to nothing that they'd ever seen before. And it all started up front with an offensive line full of experience. Last year, they graduated the entire offensive line, guys that had started for 3 seasons. As you well know, that's where it all begins and ends. Perhaps those guys are just taking a little bit longer to gel. They're just maybe starting to get their footing. What do you think in week 4 going to week 5?
Well, I think from watching a little bit of the game film on them, I would say that this isn't the same Bellevue team that we've seen in years past, but it is the same Bellevue team that we've seen in years past. And I say that meaning, like you alluded to, there's a lot of experience that left. There's only 8 seniors on this roster, and only one or two of them really saw significant minutes the last year or two. You know, that squad last year reminds me a lot of Tipton this year, where they had a lot of seniors, and they were seniors that had been playing at the varsity level for a long time. The problem is, then you come into this year, and all of a sudden, you've got a lot of new faces, you've got some underclassmen there, and so, yeah, those first 2 or 3 games, they were still kind of getting their feet under them, working on some different things. But as you watch that film, you see some confidence coming in Max Jackson at quarterback. You see some confidence coming into those offensive linemen. And you see the same philosophy and, you know, the same program in place. You know, you mentioned Coach Kanake. I mean, these guys come up, they're going to have great technique at that offensive line spot. They're going to hit you. They're going to tackle. They're going to run good routes. And so it's a situation where they're a very fundamental team. They do the little things that make a difference. And even though they're sitting at 1-3, like you say, yeah, it is a team that they're starting to get that game experience, starting to get a little bit more comfortable. They would love nothing more than to come down to Butch Peterson Field at the Little Rose Bowl and get that first district victory and really kind of say, you know what? Yeah, we stumbled in our first few games, but we're here to make some noise in District 4.
On Oliphant Street in historic downtown West Branch.
I was going to say you missed some of that.
I knew I was going to beat Matt to the punch there. Couple things real quick, then Matt and Steven, we can move to our pick-to-click section. Is I'm looking at the district leaders through 4 weeks. This game is going to feature 4 of the top 9 individual rushing performers in the district. Tanner Lukowski currently ranks has the second most rushing yards, and Gavin Hirschman has the 9th most rushing yards. Now, did I say conference? I meant District 4 in Class 1A. Looking at Bellevue, Max Jackson, quarterback, sits at the 6th most rushing yards. Ben Parker, running back, sits at number 8 in rushing yards. So looking at that statistic alone, you would think, wow, could be a running game. But then you look at the receivers. We've already mentioned this young man, Jacob Waller. He is tied for the lead in the entire district with 15 receptions through 4 weeks, along with Mick Jagger's son, Tom. Tom Jagger, I think it's Jagger, of Beckman Catholic. Tied for third at 13, Trey Eagle. He also has 5 touchdown receptions, which squarely ties him for first place in the district through 4 weeks, averaging a little over 1 touchdown reception per game. Like to see that trend keep moving forward. He's had 2 in the last few weeks. Maybe we can keep that connection with he and Mr. Hirschman going forward.
You're looking smart today. It must be because you live in a smart rural community. Liberty Communications was named a smart rural community by the Rural Broadband Association. A smart rural community is one that uses broadband networks for innovative economic development and commerce, blue ribbon education, first-rate healthcare, cutting-edge government services, robust security, and more efficient energy distribution and use. Thank you for making us a smart rural community.
So, Matt, what's next? What's on our list? What's up?
I think we just got to go right into picks to click? Yeah, it's picks to click.
Since it's a conglomerate of 3 people, it's the picks.
All right, last week I went first. I said Wyatt Goodale, which was really unfortunate because he also unfortunately was sick and wasn't able to be at the game Friday. So I don't think I have a shot of winning this week. Steven took his one-timer with Gavin Hirschman. Pretty good. Jason took Cameron Hauser.
But there was a big write-in candidate. Somebody picked the Bears. And that means we all win.
Okay.
So, Matt, you said it didn't look good for you, but it does look good for you because you cheer for West Branch. They won. Yeah, we all win.
That's true. So this week, Steven, you get to go first.
Okay. Well, I think this is going to be one of those games, just knowing how Bellevue likes to play and also just kind of looking at some of the matchup. I'm going to go Jeff Bowie on the defensive side. I think...
Doggone it.
I mean, he's got a great season going so far, but I just think this is one where he's really going to make a difference in how this game turns out.
Jason.
I am going to steal a playbook out of and pay homage here. You guys might not like the choice, but I'm going to choose them because last week they were maybe a little bit maligned. And I think they're going to be a really hungry unit this week. For this team to do well offensively, those big 5 up front are going to pave the road. And I think they're going to do it very, very well this week at Butch Peterson Field.
Skill positions, man. Got to have
you
them.
Bet.
Just so everyone is clear, that's the offensive line.
That is the offensive line.
Just so it's marked down official in the books.
O-line.
That was your pick.
It is. Skill positions.
I'm taking Cale Federline for the second week in a row. I'm going to kind of take the hot hand from the previous game, so I'm going with Cale Federline. I think just very, maybe not so silently on special teams, but just kind of quietly in all other aspects of the game, he's contributing a lot to this team. So I'm going to keep riding him here into week 5.
Well, to wrap it up and put a bow on it and put it under the tree.
I haven't heard that for a while.
You're right. So it's time to go to the whip. We're going to district play. I'm going to the old whip, bringing it back. Tell people where they can keep up with all things West Branch football.
Sure. So we just did our picks to click. So let us know who yours are. You can tweet at us at WB Bears Football on Twitter, obviously. Instagram, follow us there for at WB Bears Football. You can also like our page on Facebook. Just search for West Branch Football and you'll find it there. All 3 of those are awesome places to this season to check out the multitude of media that we have available after every game, stats, photos, videos, not just the highlights, but also the post-game interviews that we have. So those are going out to all 3 social channels there, so be sure to check those out and follow us on there. And then, of course, with the Talking Bear Football podcast here, you know, right here on westbranchfootball.com, you can subscribe to the show. That's the best way and the easiest way to listen to our episodes. And so, of course, you can do that in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever your podcast player of choice is. Just search for Talking Bear Football and subscribe there.
Okay. Well, since it is throwback and it's purple jerseys.
Is that Jimmy?
Yes.
Little Hendrix?
Yes, sir. We're going to take it back a few years. Jimi Hendrix, pick up your guitar, that axe. Pick it up and grind. Purple Haze for the purple jerseys. This week for throwback. Steven, you want to sing along?
No.
No, I don't think we want. We've already given the people enough to scratch their ears for this week. Purple Haze Jimmy taking us out on the Talking Bear Football Podcast.
Right here on WestBranchFootball.com.
And we're going into district play, so there's no preempting old Jayhawk this week. One more thing is, take care, everyone.